Morning, everyone. The reading this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 to 14. And I'm going to read that now. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the Queen Mother, the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the craftsmen had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the places from which I carried you into exile." I guess this passage contains one of the most often quoted verses of the Old Testament. Verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Put your hand up if you have in your house something with those words on it. Yep. Quite a lot of us. And if you go into Coorong, you're going to find all kinds of things in there with those words on them. Mugs, plaques, key rings. They're everywhere. And that's they're there with good reason, because those are beautiful words of hope and of comfort. We're going to see that in this passage, God told his people that he would turn them from being refugees into being residents, from being mourners into missionaries, and from being victims into visionaries. And by the way, I wasn't smart enough to think of all those headings myself. I got them out of a book by Christopher Wright called The Message of Jeremiah. But I just thought they were so good that I decided that's what we're going to think about this morning. So let's look at what was happening when God said those words to his people. For a long time, Jeremiah the prophet had predicted that the people of Israel would be taken into captivity, and it had happened. And here Jeremiah in Jerusalem is writing a letter. The letter was written after the Babylonian army of King Nebuchadnezzar had defeated the Israelites and taken many of them, the cream of the crop, so to speak, into captivity in Babylon. Although those people had been warned, they'd continued to worship false gods, they'd ignored the prophecies of Jeremiah, and now they were forced to live in exile. And as we read this part of Jeremiah, the question arises, who exiled these Jews to Babylon? In verse 1, it tells us that Nebuchadnezzar took them. But in the letter, in verse 4, God says to them that he sent them. into exile. So who actually did? And of course the answer is both of them. Humanly speaking, we see Nebuchadnezzar's army committing violence against the people, defeating them, dragging them off to Babylon. This Babylonian army was responsible for committing evil deeds against those Jewish people. And because of this, a lot of Jews felt like God had really abandoned them. They couldn't understand how this could have happened to the people who were known to be God's people. And this was despite all the many warnings that the prophet Jeremiah had spoken to them. They thought it was okay for them to ignore God and his commands and yet still claim his protection. When it didn't happen, they felt as though they'd been abandoned by God. And so once again, Jeremiah speaks as the mouthpiece of God. And God tells them, "I sent you into exile." What a shock for those people. God was behind this terrible happening? This cruel defeat of God's people? This exile into a foreign land didn't mean that God that God was defeated or that God had abandoned them. God was not a God who operated and answered prayer only in the country of Israel. God wasn't just a local God. It wasn't an accident that the people were there in exile in Babylon. And God tells them in Jeremiah's letter not to live as refugees, but to live as residents. They're not to live as though this exile is a short-term, temporary situation. God tells them to settle down into the situation where they are. He says, build houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat the produce, take wives and have sons and daughters in marriage. Multiply there and don't decrease. It's like God is saying to those people, get a life in your current situation. Don't just sit and mourn for the days gone by. Make the most of this situation in which you are now. And this is a very far cry from Psalm 137, written by an author who lived in Babylon. And the singer writes, "How shall we sing this Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill." And he goes on to pray for the destruction of the Babylonians, those people who'd brought them to this state. But in Jeremiah's letter, God is telling them to move on from that kind of thinking, to live life to the full in that place where they are forced to be, to accept that this is the situation that he has for them right now, and to remember that whatever that situation, God is sovereign. Everything isn't out of control. God is still in control. And perhaps also today, in this time of fear from coronavirus, uncertainty about vaccines, rejection of God in our general society, we also need to learn to live as the people of God who are quietly unafraid, who are accepting of our present situation, who live in peace and joy, despite all the talking, blame-calling, restrictions and unrest of our times. Why not? We can have confidence that even in this situation, our God is still at work. Even though it feels like the world is out of control, and some people feel as though God is just sitting on his hands and not doing anything about it, we can live confidently because God has not left us. Our great sovereign God hasn't lost the plot. He's still at work, and we can live as confident residents of this alien world. The people of Israel had been given a mission by God. They were to show his glory to the other nations. They were to be a blessing to all nations. So their current situation wasn't a catastrophe. It was an opportunity to show another nation what being God's people was really like. They were to be missionaries, not mourners. And sometimes we Christians, and maybe especially older Christians like me, we spend a lot of time lamenting that society today isn't what it used to be. Ever done that? Okay, I'm not alone. Good. But the message God gave to the Israelites seems to be appropriate here. He says we need to live to the full in the society where God has placed us. We need to show God's glory by our joy and our love and our contentment, not by standing around lamenting times past. Be missionaries, not mourners. God says, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. The people of Israel were not just to accept their situation. They were to pray for the prosperity and well-being of those who had brought them into it, their enemies. What a surprising and probably unwelcome message for them, and what a difficult thing for them to do. Doesn't this sound pretty much like the same message that Jesus gave hundreds of years later? Jesus said, and it's recorded in Matthew 5, 43 to 45, he said, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And that's a radical thought. And it's just as hard to do today as it was then. Do we pray for blessings for our cities, where sometimes we as Christians feel like exiles in a foreign land? Do we pray for the prosperity and the well-being of those who inhabit our neighbourhoods, even those who behave in antisocial and unpleasant ways? Do we give time to being practical helpers for people in the city who are in need? Do we love our neighbours as we love ourselves? Are we living up to our mission to be a light to all people? Philippians tells us we're to shine like stars in the universe. No qualifications. Light shines brightest when the situation around it is darkest. I can still remember years ago when I was in a group of people being taken through an underground cave on Kangaroo Island. And the guide said, now we're going to turn out all the lights so you can see what it's like to have a total absence of light. And the lights went off, and there was still a gentle glow of light that enabled us to see our surroundings and our fellow cave walkers. What was it? I suddenly realised that it was coming from the screen of my mobile phone, which I hurriedly shoved up my jumper as dozens of accusing eyes were turned my way. You know, I'd never really noticed the glow of that screen when I was up on top in the sunshine, but it seemed really bright in that otherwise pitch darkness. And our little lights, as humans, will shine extra brightly when the situation around us is dark and gloomy. We might think that our lights are small, they're not going to make much difference, but in the darkness, they'll really light up. So let's not be mourners, longing for days gone by, but let's be missionaries, shining God's light into the darkness. In Jeremiah's day, there were prophets who were telling the people that they shouldn't accept their situation. They should expect God to remove them from it very soon. And Jeremiah's letter was probably not a popular prophecy. The people wanted their answers and their relief from their situation now. And the popular prophets claimed to hear from God, but actually they were just telling people what they wanted to hear. And sometimes, as we've already heard this morning, God doesn't change our situation quickly. His plans and his purposes for us and for the world in which we live are bigger than just for our comfort. His plans are to bring glory to his name. What are your plans? Do they bring glory to the name of God? In Jeremiah's letter to the Jews in Babylon, he tells them that while their situation isn't going to change quickly, he does have plans for them. When the time of their judgment for their sins is over, their situation is going to change. He tells them it will be 70 years until Babylon receives its judgment and the people of Israel are able to return to Jerusalem. God is a God of justice, and he's also a God of mercy. Although the reason the people of Israel are suffering now is because of their sin and the rejection of God, God hasn't rejected them. There will be mercy, and there is hope for a better future. And that's where God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God wants his people to have hope. They're to be visionaries, not victims. Their situation is temporary, and while they wait, they have a mission to be the people of God in a foreign country, to pray for those people in that land. But even in the midst of judgment, there's hope. Even when bad things are happening to God's people, there's hope. God's purposes are always for the ultimate good of his people. And as God proclaims his good purposes, hope and a future, he tells his people more of what he will do and what their response is to be. In verse 12 he says, "You will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." God is proclaiming an end to captivity, an end to their exile, and they are to respond by calling on God, by praying to him, by seeking him with all their hearts. The story of Daniel, yes, that one who's famed for surviving in a lion's den, is a story of someone in captivity in Babylon near the end of these 70 years that were told by God. And Daniel was doing just what Jeremiah's prophecy said. He was praying. He was seeking God every day. Daniel lived an outstanding life and had responsibilities in his country of exile. He was a resident, not a refugee. He was a missionary. He told the king that he would worship only the one true God, not the king himself, as the law proclaimed. And he prayed even when it was dangerous. And God honoured him as he had honoured God. And the king who'd commanded him to be thrown into the lion's den eventually made a decree that people were to fear the God of Daniel. He said, "For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel was a missionary to those people in his country of exile. And through him, people in that foreign land came to know and to understand the power of the living God. Daniel refused to be a victim. And Daniel followed and worshipped God continually, even though the pressure was on him to abandon God and to fit into the culture around him. These are tough times for many people in our culture today. And God doesn't get the respect that he should. Our culture prizes human wisdom more than the wisdom and the truth of God. And it's easy for us as Christians to see ourselves as victims. Victims of disrespect. Victims of mockery as we strive to obey and to worship our God. But let's not live as victims. Let's live as visionaries. God's people have a vision. We have a vision of a hope and a future because our God has good plans for us. We are residents of our world who continue to bless our neighbours, our country, and our world. We devote time and energy to praying for them and loving them. And let's continue to pray blessings on our neighbours and our workmates and our employers, on our leaders of government and of our churches. Is your mouth full of blessings for others? Or do you go out of here with words of complaint and words of bitterness? Which words are going to glorify God and show his true character to the people who don't know him. Do you go out of here as a mourner or as a missionary? God has called each one of us to live as lights in the world, to share his word with the nations. We all heard that beautiful story of Nelisha this morning. And that's an example of the kinds of things we can do in this world. And we can do things closer to home too. Do you go out from here as a victim of our times, or as a visionary who has hope and eagerness for the future that God has planned for you? Does the glory of God fill your eyes each day as you pray to him and spend time in his word? Or are your eyes fixed on the evils of this world and on your own struggles? Are you seeking God? God wants to be found by us and by the nations.